Episode 75, What's Wrong with Owen Adams? I was going to start. Well, it happened again. I hit the wrong buttons on the remote, and I ended up on the Hallmark Channel. And now, instead of rugby, I'm watching The Golden Girls, an episode from the 1990s. I was going to start the show with a light, funny clip, but as discussed in the last episode, I had a close call. And I didn't realize how close a call I had landing in the Sarasota airport on February 16th of this year until somebody who was on the flight with me, I don't know how they knew me, but they somehow knew me, sent me an article from Fox News. And now I'm one of six incidents this year, close calls of collisions at airports that they're investigating. And I was about to start the podcast and this came on the news. Finally.
The FAA is holding an urgent air safety summit today after a string of dangerous close calls in the sky and on the ground.
I should be there.
600 incidents in fiscal year 2023.
Fiscal 2023? It's only March.
Taxiway in Syracuse this week and a near collision at Reagan National Airport in Washington last week.
Great.
We just learned about today.
Of course.
When a regional jet rolled in front of a departing...
A close call for Orny Adams. Orny Adams almost got taken out in one of these incidents, okay? They got to do something about it, aborting takeoff.
With Lester Holt, the acting FAA administrator insists that flying is safe.
Of course he does. Says it's safe.
These events over the past few weeks, that gives us a moment to say, let's stop, let's reflect, let's ask ourselves the question, are we missing anything?
Yeah, you're missing a plane's on the runway when my plane's trying to come in.
Always that we can never become complacent and never take this incredible safety.
What's wrong with flying?
Joining me now, MSNBC.
I don't think we're safe anymore. We're not. We're not safe. I'm going to talk about this on the episode. I'll play the clip again of me on the airplane recording it. And it's kind of sad. I actually recorded this because I thought the plane was going down. I thought there was a real problem. And I'll explain second by second what I was feeling. And so I wanted to record this to memorialize if something happened. So there was some evidence of what was going on in the airplane with the passengers at the time. But this is really, it's very disturbing what's going on. I'm going to play another clip from the news that explains why there are all these near collisions happening. But I really just wanted to open with this, with the Golden Girls, because I think this really explains what's wrong with my mind and how my mind works and how I spend my time. I'm not kidding. I hit the wrong buttons on the remote. So in order to get to a channel, like let's say you want to watch the Nat Geo channel. Is that apolitical? Can I mention Nat Geo? That on my provider is 1265. Well, if you hit the 1-2 and you don't get to the 6 and fast enough or something happens, now you're on 12 and you're watching the Hallmark Channel, which I'm way too young to be watching. And now all of a sudden you're watching the Golden Girls, a clip from the 1990s. This is an episode called Blanche Delivers. And what's going on is Blanche's pregnant daughter, Rebecca, comes to Miami to have her baby, but doesn't want to have it at a hospital. She wants to have it at a birthing center that's into homeopathic methods. You know, like these freaks now that want to have their kids in a bathtub at home, or they want an inflatable pool. Let me thank my parents for not wanting to have me in an inflatable pool in the backyard. Okay? That's not how I wanted to come into the planet. I'd like to come in a safe environment, a hospital. I was born in Boston, Massachusetts, at the Women's Hospital. And if there was a problem, they could take care of me medically. They could take care of my mom. They could induce pregnancy. They had all sorts of drugs. Well, they don't have these at these birthing centers. You know what they're going to do? You got a problem. They start waving sage on top of you or something. They start, you start praying. I don't think it's safe. I don't know if it makes any difference for the kid. Now, it seems like we have more incidents of, of people being on the spectrum and, all these sorts of illnesses and problems ever since we're trying to be homeopathic. Anybody investigating that? I don't mean to be controversial, but when we thought less about this shit, like the foods we eat and how healthy and all that sort of stuff, seems like people were in better shape and happier and lived a better life. We might want to go back to smoking. in delivery rooms. That's what I'm suggesting. So here's what happens. Now, I'm on this show for less than 30 seconds. I'm actually playing it right from the beginning of when I switched over, because I hit record when I heard this. I thought, they're delivering this line wrong. This isn't right. So what do I do? Most people just let it go. And you're going to see how I micromanage comedy and how my mind works in regards to like syllables and half seconds and how to be as concise as possible with comedy. And I think this is how, you know, singer-songwriters like Bob Dylan work. They understand how important it is. I mean, a syllable can lose a viewer in comedy. So listen to this, okay? I'm going to play this.
Oh, this is all wrong. What kind of dope would want to have a baby here?
This place makes me want to run out and get pregnant.
We have a lot of features here to create the right environment for both you and baby. That's why we have music piped into every room. Ah! Ooh, sounds like there's a mommy in the making.
Sounds like there's a mommy on fire.
Becky, I have to admit, everything is well coordinated here. But honey, wouldn't you be happier in a place where there's less stereo and more... Ah! Morphine?
It's wrong. That's wrong. Comedically, that's wrong. I'm going to explain to it all this in a few minutes, but I'm telling you, there's a better way to deliver that line, and it drove me nuts. It drove me nuts. And I just remember, you know, when I was hanging out with Gary Shandling, this is what we would do. I'm bringing this down. We would watch TV, and we would correct the comedy. And I listen, nothing against these writers, because this show is funny. His name's Arnie. I got to tell you something. Comedy used to be great. I don't know if it is anymore, because I don't really watch a lot of modern comedy, but Golden Girls, the characters were funny, and it was all about the comedy coming from the character, these people knowing themselves. It didn't seem gratuitous. It seemed super funny, but I think I could have written this line better, and I'm gonna share that with you at the end of the episode. How about that? So stick around for the end of the episode, because I want to talk about my American Airlines flight into Sarasota, and I want to talk about this Leonard Cohen documentary. I have a follow-up on Sticker Mule, that did the disaster of the stickers I ordered. We've got some viewer mail, but let's start off. Let's discuss this incident, because look at the screen. Look how scary this is. Okay. This is an article. Look at this. Somebody sent this to me. This is from Fox Business News. Put this up. American Airlines crew averts possible disaster in Sarasota, Florida. Close call. I knew it. I knew there was a bigger problem than they let on. That's Fox Business. A passenger on the flight with me sent me this on Twitter and said, "This, you were on this flight with me. This was serious." And I knew it. I knew it. I last week I discussed it. I was actually angry at the pilots, because the pilots weren't keeping us informed and didn't tell us what was going on. Well, turns out I probably should be thankful to those pilots. They probably saved my life. That's probably what happened, because what we were coming in for a landing, and on the runway that we were about to land on, there was another flight, an Air Canada flight. And the tower didn't tell our flights. We had to self-initiate, the pilots, a go-around. And I've been reading articles. There are a ton of articles, and including on the news today, they were talking about my flight. My flight. You almost lost me. The NTS, this is from simplyflying.com. I read some really geeky, you know, pilot sort of websites, because they're all discussing this flight. And some of these pilot websites, they're discussing stuff that I don't even understand, with graphs. And somebody actually drew diagrams. I'm going, don't say diaphragm, of the incident. And they're very technical. In fact, these sites are so technical. The only thing technical about them is the discussion, because the websites look like they're from 1992. They look like the first website discussion boards ever. But the information is fascinating. So I'll read this one first. This is very detailed. This is from the Aviation Herald, okay? It says, incident, American B-738 and Canada A-321 at Sarasota on February 16th, 2023. Loss of separation on runway. I guess that's a euphemism. Loss of separation. It doesn't seem like a loss of separation. Seems like there was never any separation. One plane was told on the runway to take off, and my plane was told to land. Of course, you don't know any of this. Now, keep in mind, it's pitch dark when this is happening, okay? An American Airlines Boeing 737-800 registration N976NN. That's why I know this is like a geeky article, because they're giving us the tail number. Performing flight AA-2172. This flight has too many names already. From Charlotte, North Carolina to Sarasota, Florida, was on a visual final approach to runway 14 and was cleared to land on runway 14. About 3 minutes later, so we're told you can land, an Air Canada Airbus, 3 minutes later, A321-200 registration, CFJQH, performing flight AC-1633 from Sarasota, Florida to Toronto, reported ready for the departure and was cleared for takeoff. However, it appears the transmission of the takeoff clearance was stepped on by another aircraft. That's us. The crew queried Tower about 30 seconds later whether they had understood correctly that they were clear for takeoff. Tower affirmed, the crew thus proceeded for takeoff. So for me, feels like we got a Tower incident here. And I'm going to play a clip from the news this morning also that explains what's going on at the airport, why we're having so many of these incidents. Okay? The crew of American B-738, with who? Passenger, Orny Adams, who's going to Sarasota to do shows at McCurdy's Comedy Club, risking my life to entertain you people, okay, was advised about another minute later that they were going to initiate a go-around from a very low height. Okay, you ready for this? Remember last week I discussed how close we were to the runway? Okay, remember, I'll play the audio from the actual, from the flight. Okay, this is what happened. We're landing. You can feel when you're landing. You hear the landing gear come down, the wheels, and you break through the clouds, and you can see the water, the ocean. You can see Sarasota. You can see the lights of the city. It's beautiful. You're ready to land. You're excited to finally get off of this aircraft. You're excited to finally have some freedom to move about on your own. You're excited to get your luggage and get to the air, the hotel. You're excited to get up in the morning and do media. And you're excited to do shows at McCurdy's Comedy Club that weekend. Okay. What happened was we came in, and when I tell you, I count in my head. I go 3, 2, 1. One being when we're about to hit the runway. That's how close we were. That's how close we were to landing. And all of a sudden, it shot back up. The plane shot back up. Didn't say anything. And I thought they missed the runway. It's a small airport. There isn't a lot of traffic at this airport. They missed the runway. Guy next to me, you'll hear in the audio later, said, I fly all the effing time. We were coming in way too effing fast. So everybody had a theory. My theory was we missed the runway. Then we just kept flying off. My theory then turned into we were at the wrong airport. Or something is terribly wrong. By that meaning we've lost an engine. The landing gear didn't come down. Like I was asking people, did anybody hear the landing gear come down? There's a major mechanical issue and they've got to get the fire department there. They've got to put foam down for us to land on the foam. They're discussing whether they should, they're flying off dumping fuel. They're discussing whether they should put us in the ocean and do a Sully Sullenberger. These are all the things going through my mind. It was a good 4 minutes or so of silence from the cockpit. And that's what bothered me. That's when I was like, hey guys, I almost got up and knocked on the door and was like, what's going on? Like, just tell us, are we in trouble? And I started recording because I wanted to memorialize in case something went wrong. I mean, it's really scary to think about. And at the time, I sensed that there was a problem. I sensed when we were coming in, there was a problem. I don't know why. I don't think this that often, but I felt something. And true enough, it was true. Something was really wrong. So this is me, and this is why I feel like I should be at this summit today, because I was a passenger. I can tell you what was going on, tell you how scary it is, and I think we need reform. I think the pilots need to come on faster. although I talked with a lot of pilots, commercial pilots, Delta and other airlines, and they said they're doing so much, meaning you got to, you know, hit all these switches and do all this stuff, that they needed some time before they could come on. And the guy came on just too cool, like, again, sorry about that. There was traffic on the runway and blah, blah. And it just felt like, come on, like, what? Tell us really what's going on. Tell us. Because I've lost trust in pilots that they're going to tell us if there's really an issue. And I feel like that needs to be discussed. Although, in this case, I am super grateful to these pilots. I'd like to thank them. If anybody knows who the pilots were that were flying on this flight, a famous person, me, would like to contact them and thank them. Because I guess the final check, it's visual. So the tower doesn't say, hey, there's a plane in the way. My pilots have to recognize it. Now, it's pitch dark. I don't know if you've landed before, but at nighttime, sometimes you come through the cloud and it looks like you're just, you know, seconds away from hitting the ground. So I believe we're really close to hitting this other aircraft on the ground, the Air Canada one. This is me in the air recording. I played this last week.
We should be touching down here in about 5 to 10 minutes. Sorry for the inconvenience, but then again, it was also this traffic on the runway.
Okay. So he said, we'll be touching down in about 5 minutes. Sorry about the inconvenience. Again, there was traffic on the runway. Because I started this after he started talking. I started fumbling for it. And then you can hear me going, why did it take so long? Why did it take that long to tell us that? And everybody's got a theory now. And this is where the guy says, we're coming in too fast.
We're right there.
Everyone's discussing, maybe the tower told us to go around, then this guy goes, I fly all the effing time. Coming in way too effing fast. It's really hard to hear. I guess I'm playing it because I want you to know how scary it was and that I actually recorded it. I don't think I've ever done that before. So in this article from the Aviation Herald, the crew of American B-738, that's us, advised about another minute later that they were going around, initiating a go-around from a very low height, about 150 AGL. AGL is an aviation term for above ground level. We were 150 feet from the ground. Do you know what that is? That's a 14-story building. You want to know what else is 150 feet tall? The Statue of Liberty. That's how close we were to the ground. We were a Statue of Liberty high. And there was another plane on the runway. I think we all know runways aren't that long. And especially in an airport like Sarasota. How does this happen in Sarasota? There's not a lot of traffic. There aren't a lot of flights going into Sarasota. Try and book a flight into Sarasota. You got about 3 options. Okay? So how if... in a place where there's minimal traffic, how is this going on? Well, this clip, I suspect they're on their phones. I want to call for no cell phones in towers, better training, and I want to call for actually no cell phones in any place where you're... I'm sick of seeing waiters on their cell phones, bartenders on their cell phones. I'm sick of going into... You know, yesterday, I was at Home Depot or Lowe's, one of those places, and I needed custom paint made, and there was a guy who worked there in the paint aisle. I said, sir... I said, is there anybody that can help me with a custom paint? He answered me walking away looking on his phone. I was interrupting him on his phone. These are the people, if they're not working there, they're apparently working at the airports. Because listen to this.
What was the focus today and what is the FAA hoping to accomplish with this summit?
They're calling this a call for vigilance, a wake-up call here, and we can see why. When we look at these recent incidents, I mean, we've had 6 near misses, Chris, so far this year, including the one that you just mentioned.
Including one with Orny Adams. We almost lost Orny Adams, a comedy national treasure, because of an incident. So the next time... you guys are like, hey, when are you coming to do a show in Omaha? Just understand, I'm risking my life to go to Omaha and make you laugh. I'm a statistic. I'm a close call.
Close to each other on runways, one not having clearance to be on it as another's landing, for example. And then
I mean, there's mine right there on the screen. I'm watching the news. February 16th, Air Canada flight cleared for takeoff on same runway as American Airlines in Sarasota, Florida. Right there. I'm one of six incidents that have happened this year. Why is this happening? This will shock you. Actually, it might not shock you. It's more disturbing.
On these near misses, and experts are pointing out that the system is strapped because of COVID. A lot of airlines, they cut workers. A lot of people took early retirement packages. And so not only do they have staffing issues, but they have a really new workforce and they're calling for more training. They're also
great. Our planes are being guided by unqualified workers. Do you feel safe flying anymore? What's wrong with flying? Again, it's COVID. It's the COVID excuse. Again, this is from Simply Flying. It is unknown how close the two aircraft came to one another. And I'll tell you how close. 150 feet from the ground close. And once we hit the ground, there's no going back up. Okay? And the NTSB says, now it's not clear to me, what does the NTSB do versus FAA? The NTSB says that the American jet self-initiated go-around. That means, screw you, tower, we're taking off. However, the agency has not yet exactly termed the incident a runway incursion. It's interesting. Incursion? Isn't it like an invasion? A war? The Federal Aviation Administration is also investigating the incident and confirmed to CNN that the air traffic control did not clear the Air Canada Rouge plane to depart at the same time as it gave clearance to the American 737 to land on the same runway. CNN quotes the FAA as saying, so is the tower saying, we didn't say you could go Air Canada? Like, I can't wait for the full report to come out. I want to thank the person on Twitter that shared this with me, but I'm telling you, it's bad out there. And you know, I always think about like when that FAA guy came on and he said, hey, listen, it's not that dangerous to fly. People were told it was okay to stay in the towers on 9/11. You know, people are being told in Ohio that these chemicals from the train spills aren't that bad. Meanwhile, you can't take a train either. How are we supposed to get anywhere? Can't fly, can't take a train. So, you know, you can't trust these people that are the authorities. They don't know everything. I mean, even look what we went through, and we're still debating after COVID. Like, should we have worn masks? Shouldn't we have worn masks? Is the vaccine good? Is it causing side effects? Like, I know people on every part of the political spectrum that disagree and agree on all sorts of things in this regards. Also, oh, first of all, big call out, my shirt, if you look at it, Hoboken Exterminating on Washington Street in Hoboken. Big shout out to them. My neighbor was wearing this t-shirt hiking, and I said, I'd like that. And they sent me one. So thank you. Hoboken Exterminating. I think it's funny because there's a huge dead cockroach on the shirt. So it's just weird times. And, you know, we could have lost me. I'm on borrowed time. I feel like I did a podcast called Borrowed Time, didn't I? Borrowed time. Because I was thinking, do I call this close call or borrowed time? So I wonder, I've also thought about this from a philosophical standpoint. How many times are we really close to death and we didn't realize it? Like, I'd love a full accounting. Like, if there's a pearly gates and I met by, and believe me, I'm going to heaven. I've done nothing but good. I'm going to read you some emails from some fans and let you know. I'd like to know how many times I came close to death. Like how many close accidents, maybe in an intersection. Maybe I braked a mile earlier and it caused me to not get into an accident. How many times was I near somebody violent or shooting or I upset somebody? I'd like a full accounting of how many near deaths. I know one, Sarasota, February 16th, 2023, flying in. And thank you to the pilots that self-initiated. I just wish that you had comforted the passengers more who are all freaking out. It's like a scene out of Airplane. People screaming. It was nuts. Here's some viewer email because, and I'm reading this. I was going to read this on the last podcast, but I'm reading it on this one. And the reason is I have a friend who is a creative person who, you know, finished a project and it came out. And some of the critics were very critical and some of the fans were unnecessarily cruel. And I said to this person, I said, listen, I've been doing this a long time. Okay. Doing this a long time, maybe 30 years. And the one thing I've realized is whenever I'm really down, super down, and I question what I do, which is every morning at about 6 a.m. when I get up, I go, why do I do this? You know, like videos that I put up. Like I put up one I'll play at the end of this podcast, perhaps, of me at the Improv this past weekend, and somebody yells, shut up. I knew it wasn't to me because I was killing, but I pretended I thought it was about me. And, you know, I have to get that clip from the club. I then have to import the clip. I have to edit the clip. I have to even the audio. Then I have to put it up on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, what's left of that platform. And it's a lot of work. And at some point you think, is this a waste of my life? What am I doing with my life? Is it worth it? Because I put it out there and, you know, thousands of people see it, but I don't see them seeing it. I can't be there. I don't know if it's bringing them joy. I don't know if it's upsetting people. I don't know what the reaction is. But at some point you go, maybe my life, and maybe this is me getting older, needs more meaning. Maybe I should just stop and just, you know, volunteer all the time. You know, like Jimmy Carter, the former president who's sick. And, you know, I have stories about Jimmy Carter because I used to see him when I went to school in Atlanta, Georgia at Emory. He was a teacher and you'd see him. You'd see the Secret Service and those vans. And it was quite a thrill to see a former president. And he donated basically the rest of his life to Habitat for Humanity, building homes. And maybe that's what I need. Maybe I need more value in my life rather than, you know, it's kind of pathetic. You know, here I am in big yellow in Los Angeles in my Shasta, which happens to be yellow. And then after this, I'll have to upload all the audio. I'll have to edit the three video cameras and then put clips out there. It's enough of me. I'm sick of me. I'm sick of the focus being on me. But this person was going through it. And I said to this person, listen, there are so many people whose lives you're affecting in such a positive way that you don't even realize it. And I don't realize it too. And I want to read these emails, okay? This is powerful to me, especially in light that we've had, I think, hundreds of mass shootings already this year in the United States. It's a real problem. But this is, I won't say her name. In fact, let me cross it off here so it doesn't end up on the cameras. This is me detecting. Hi, my name is, I'm a professor at the Michigan State University. You may have heard that our university experienced a mass shooting recently. We have been devastated by this event. I'm no exception. My classroom was down the hall from the building in which the shooting took place. In the days after, I found your comedy. In truth, I'd never heard of you. I've been watching a lot of comedy, and eventually you came into the recommendations in my YouTube feed. Watching comedy was about all I was able to do in this aftermath. Finding your comedy at this time in my life was a gift. I hope one day to see you at the Michigan State University. We have about 50,000 millennial students that I'm sure could use a break from their life about now. Thank you for your incredible talent. I have to say that you're my new favorite comedian. You never think that these people, you know, I get emails from all over the world every day. And I've said this before, I read all of them, okay? I read all the emails. I can't respond to all the emails, but I digest it, and I appreciate it, and I'm thankful. In fact, if I got something like this, I wish I could just write, thank you, really appreciate it, but that would seem dismissive. It feels like I have to, like, respond in kind, at least with the emotion and thought. I mean, because it means a lot that she sent that, or he sent that. It's unbelievable to think that, and it's a good way to think of the world. I'm that close. I'm one degree away. I now know somebody who was involved or victim of mass shooting. And whether that person was there when the shooting happened, or is a victim in the sense that knew people that died, or is involved in a community that is now fully depressed, the world is a lot closer. In fact, it's too close. Like, I shouldn't have to put up a video and hear what people in Bangladesh think about it. I shouldn't, I think we should be more local. Our problems should be local, and our criticisms and who we're dealing with should be local. I mean, I'm grateful. The internet has saved me. YouTube has saved my career. This More Than Loud video, my YouTube stand-up, which was on Showtime, is now at 2.4 million views, and my other one, Takes a Third, is growing. So I am grateful, and I'm grateful people are seeing me all over the world. But at the same time, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming that because there's wars everywhere. There's Ukraine. There's wars going on probably in countries in Africa. And, you know, is North Korea going to come after us? And then what's going on with Taiwan? Like, it's nonstop. And so it's not healthy to take on the world's problems every day. And that's what we're doing. And that's what's scary. But I wanted this person who put out this project that felt attacked to remember that there are people out there, and that when there is tragedy, they turn to your movie, your TV show, your podcast, your stand-up. Here's another example, okay? This is from Neil. I won't use his last name. I don't know if it would be possible for Mr. Adams. You can call me Arnie, everybody. You can call me Arnie. I don't know if it'd be possible for Mr. Adams to see this, but I'm 64 years old. Also very weird when somebody older than you calls you Mr. And just lost my father at 88 years of age on February something. He and I were very close. So I've been in a kind of bad place since this occurred. Tonight, I was home alone with my thoughts while my wife is at work. And these are the times that are hardest for me. I just happened to run across Mr. Adams' More Than Loud special on YouTube. I'm only 14 minutes into the show and was able to make me laugh out loud. He was able to make me laugh out loud for the first time since his father died. His particular brand of humor is just what I needed, and words cannot describe how much I appreciate him lifting my spirits. I've never felt compelled to write an entertainer before. Oh, thank you, Neil. But this was an exception. So thank you, Mr. Adams. You just never know how you might touch a complete stranger's heart, but you did. And I thought you might be interested in hearing about it. And I am. And I'm really sorry about the loss of your father, Neil. And I can't imagine. And I'm glad that my stand-up could bring you solace or a respite for just even a few minutes, an escape. And I lose sight of that. So thank you for reminding me. I'll continue with his email. By the way, when I was a kid, I had a nasty cut that wouldn't stop bleeding and probably required stitches. I would just rub dirt in it and make the bleeding stop. So I'm with you, brother. Best wishes and thank you. Well, thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate you reaching out. And again, I'm sorry. And I'm glad people are discovering my comedy and using it to escape. That means the world to me. It really does. Now, let me get into this, Sticker Mule, and then we're going to wrap it up with me talking about how I edited an episode of Golden Girls from 1990, how I think I made it funnier. This is my arrogance, but also I think comedy is mathematical. I think of it very mathematically. In fact, let me play the clip from the other night first. This is me on stage at the Improv. I'm putting this on my desktop, I think. Am I? There it is. This is me at the Improv the other day. You know what? I'm going to talk about Sticker Mule. Sticker Mule. I finally got the order. They sent it out. They express shipped it to me. They gave me a nice credit, but I really had to fight for it. And I'm sick of fighting for stuff nowadays. Just make it right. The stickers look great. I'm having shirts made. I'll introduce a new line of stuff that you can buy off my website eventually, and then you can buy at shows. Also, if you want to email me like these people did, the email is whatswrong@ornieadams.com. whatswrong@ornieadams.com. If you're having trouble finding this video, it might be on patreon.com/ornie. A few weeks later, a month or two later, it goes up on YouTube/ornieadams, and the audio is everywhere, Spotify. It's on Apple Podcasts. I think it's on Gmail. I mean, I don't know, but you shouldn't have trouble finding it. And if you do, just go to the what's wrong. I think it's whatswrong.com. Is that what it is? I don't even remember. Let me type that in and see what it is. What's wrong? What's wrong? Oh, I was going to talk about this. This is in the New York Post. This woman posed as, it's called Sick Talk. This woman posed as a 14-year-old boy on TikTok, and what the algorithm fed her. And it's scary. What'swrong.com? What is the name? I don't even know. No, it isn't. TeamWhat'sWrong.com. That's what it is. Go to TeamWhat'sWrong.com. Boy, ever since COVID, I can't remember anything. I now say SC since COVID. And I can't stand the taste of mustard anymore. But anyway, the best part about the sticker mule thing was I was most concerned about somebody else having my design and having my stickers before me and seeing them before me and before I'm able to release it to the public. And I just assumed that the people whose stickers I got, they probably got my sticker. And sure enough, a patisserie, if I'm saying that correctly, a pastry shop in Maryland reached out to me on Instagram. And we went back and forth. I've become friends with these people. In fact, if they want, I'll give a shout out and you can go see their pastry shop. I got their stickers. They got my stickers. Sticker Mule sent replacements. They told us to throw out the stickers we got, which is a complete waste. Well, we shipped them. The pastry shop shipped me my stickers. I shipped their stickers back to the pastry shop. Everybody's friends. It's like a scene out of a movie. In the movie, we would fall in love and live happily ever after. In this case, we just got our stickers back. That's what happened. This is me on stage at the Improv the other night when I was having a great show. I was closing the show at the Hollywood Improv on Saturday night. And I heard somebody yell, "Shut up." And I knew it wasn't to me. I could tell because it was way in the back. And it wasn't like at a point in my show that you would ever yell, "Shut up." And so I pretended it was about me and got some laughs. This is up on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram and stuff like that. So let me play you this. And believe me, you can imagine the amount of time it takes for me to edit this, put up the subtitles, and boost the audio when the audience member's yelling. You might have trouble hearing this. You know, you may need to see the visuals, but I invite you to go look at it on my YouTube page or Instagram or TikTok or Twitter, whatever left of that platform. For me, shut up. I thought I was doing well. Not big. Okay, good. What's that?
The people behind us won't shut up.
Oh. The people behind us won't shut up.
People behind him. You think you guys shut up?
I don't want like a fight to happen, you know? I wasn't going to do this one tonight, but let me do this for the table that keeps talking. Because this certainly, I don't know how much faster and louder I have to be to keep your attention. But, I realize I suffer from this paralysis anytime I have to make a decision. Like, and then I just end it. And then people go, "Well, what's the joke? I want to know the joke." I'm like, "Well, you got to pay to see me." A little bit of clickbait going on there. I think what's really fascinating is that whatever it is, I don't know because I've been doing this a long time. It might be More Than Loud special on YouTube. It might be all the clips I'm posting. It might be this podcast. But there's a lot more people coming to see my shows. And in this show in particular, people were yelling out bits for me to do at the end of the show. I'm just one of the comics. There's like seven of us on the show, each doing like, you know, 15 minutes. I'm at the end, so I do 30. But people are coming out. There was a guy who traveled from Santa Barbara to see the show Saturday night. He said, "We've traveled a few times to see you." And I do this thing from stage where I fist bump somebody. And as I'm doing it, I say, "Ever touch a famous person?" And it's a big laugh. And after the show, he came up to me and said, "Listen, we love seeing you. We've seen you several times. You drive from Santa Barbara." I go, "From Santa Barbara just to see that?" "Yeah." And he said, "My wife wants to touch a famous person." So I fist bumped his wife. And the guy the next day Venmoed me $50. He said, for letting my wife touch a famous person. I know it sounds sexual, but it wasn't at all. But how cool is that? How cool is that? Those are the moments I need to remember more, because it's a negative world now. We're exposed to the negativity and the crap that's going on globally, and it's too much. It's a burden on our souls, especially for people like me. Okay? So, I want to end with Golden Girls, and I'm wrapping it up. Episode 75 is coming to an end. This is Golden Girls. I should read a little bit about the episode so you can just know what I'm talking about. This aired September 22nd, 1990, and it's written by Gail and Jim. I think it's a really funny episode. I just have one writer's room note, my own writer's room. Plot, as Rose reveals that she is going ice skating and hopefully win a competition, Blanche gets a call from Rebecca, her daughter, who is near her due date and has to come to Miami to have it. Blanche is still a little annoyed because she decided not to marry, but she's willing to help. After Becky arrives, she looks at a birthing center which has New Age ideals, which is where we're at. And what happens is you hear a woman screaming. I played this at the beginning of the episode. Hopefully, you haven't forgotten. I don't know where the clip is. Here it is. And so you hear a woman screaming. And this is, I'm just randomly starting it where I think it might be. Here's the line that I rewrote. And I actually, you want to know what's wrong with Orny Adams? I actually stopped the show, hit record, got my recording equipment, which included just recording with an iPhone camera, but I also have audio equipped equipment that a Zoom recorder with professional microphones next to the TV. So I record the audio separately, combine the audio, and then I edit. I'm such a loser. I can't just look at this clip of Golden Girls and say, oh, wow, I would have done this a little differently. I actually have to stop my day. I spent hours recording this and then re-editing it, and now I'm playing it for you. I mean, this should be called What's Wrong with Orny Adams? He needs to get a life. Listen.
Everything is well coordinated here, but honey, wouldn't you be happier in a place where there's less stereo and more... morphine?
Okay. I saw this, and I said, more morphine. I said, why are you saying more twice? It should be more... fiend, right? And that's the way I would deliver it. So here it is. This is my edit. For the first time, I'm releasing my edit of the Golden Girls from 1990. Imagine if I saw this in 1990. It's been driving me nuts ever since. Here is my effort to have it say more fiend. Now, it's hard because I had to edit out the more morphine. I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't believe I did this. And it doesn't play exactly right because she didn't deliver it like that. She didn't go morphine. She delivered, like, didn't hold a fiend and didn't deliver it as if it was one word. I'm taking her three words and making it one word. I cut out two words. You're welcome, Golden Girls. There needs to be a Golden Girls DVD collection edited by Orny Adams, apparently. But I don't want to criticize this show. As much as I watched, I said, this is actually really good writing, great characters, and great acting. Here it is, and then I'm going to let it play out because there's a really funny line at the end, which just shows how funny this show is.
But honey, wouldn't you be happier in a place where there's less stereo and more... morphine?
Come on! Right? Did you hear it? I guess it didn't play out. I guess that's it. All right. Well, listen. That's not actually... listen to that. That's what LA sounds like now. Listen, it's just all rain out here. That's it. In fact, it's been raining so much, I put out on social media, hey, this rain is nice for a change. And of course, nobody gets it. Nobody gets the joke. What's wrong with Orny Adams? Not much on this episode. Well, actually, yes. He's editing episodes of old episodes of sitcoms. Boy, I don't know what to... I'm embarrassed. I mean, remember earlier I was talking about maybe my life needs more purpose? This is what I'm talking about. I'm taking the time to edit old episodes of The Golden Girls. It's time for me to reevaluate my life. And maybe I should have after my wake-up call, my close call of the flight into Sarasota, American Airlines, February 16, 2023. This is a day that we should turn this into a national holiday. The day that Orny Adams survived a close call. It's scary out there. Listen, I'm telling companies, start hiring people that give a shit. Like that person at Home Depot that ignored me and walked away muttering under his breath. That person should be fired. There should be repercussions. There should be penalties. That's what we need. I'm going to more and more places where the worker doesn't want to be there and doesn't care and knows nothing about the product or the company or anything. It's like, gotta end. It's gotta end. I'd rather have robots running the world than the people that I'm encountering. And that's why we don't want to leave the house anymore. And that's why I'm calling for a mandatory get the hell out of your house policy. A stay out. A lockout. I called for it in the last episode, and it's going to be the theme of my new routine coming up, if I can figure out how to make it funny, if I can figure out how to make this podcast funny. Thank you, Ernesto Hurtado, for mastering the audio. Thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you to everybody that listens to the audio, for the people that subscribe to Patreon and continue to subscribe. Love you guys. And for the people that are sharing my content, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. This is Orny Adams. I'm the host. What's Wrong with Orny Adams? Episode 45. It was supposed to be 30 minutes and it's still 45 minutes. So I got a real problem that I got to figure out. And I never got to talk about the Leonard Cohen documentary, and I never got to talk about Wheels from the last episode. So I don't know. I'm exhausted. All I know is right now I've been off my devices, meaning the computer's not online, for the last 45 minutes. So now I haven't seen any TV or news. Maybe the world has ended in 45 minutes. Maybe the stock market has crashed again. Maybe it's green. Who knows? Everything moves so fast that to be away from your devices for 45 minutes is asking a lot. So if you did it, I appreciate you. Now I'm about to go out back into the real world, get out of Big Yellow, and find out what's wrong. What's gone wrong in 45 minutes. And you want to know what? That scares the hell out of me. Have a good week.